Good morning. Welcome. Oh. And welcome to the third Sunday after Pentecost. Brave souls here. This nice sunny day, not out playing golf or pickleball or something. Are there any new people here today that have never been to one of our services before? Anybody? No? Good. So everybody knows about communion and, oh, good.
We were here, this church, about 10 years ago. Ooh. Several times. We have a place in Sun River. We're just visiting again.
Well, wonderful.
We're kind of with the Theodore's family. I heard Rob's kid down today.
What? I'm going to tell him you told on him. And what's your name? What's your name? Good. Well, welcome back. So we're only doing communion in the bread species today. No wine. We're still being careful of COVID. So the ushers will direct you which way to go. I hope. Sometimes this is a new space to us, so we have a little confusion yet on which way we should go. But you'll make it back. Okay, so I think that we have an announcement, a mission moment today from Wade Watson.
So before I start the mission moment, I wanted to check and see how many people noticed that the exterior painting got completed on Tuesday. So We are making progress bit by bit. One of the things that distinguishes SCF as a congregation is the terrific commitment to outreach. And I think everybody is probably familiar with UPCAP, UPCAP being the organization that supports many of the local ministries. Others are probably familiar with the national and international outreach program and the committee. That obviously does national and international outreach, and then of course there's the Good News Team. The organization or the committee within our congregation that is probably less familiar is our endowment fund. The endowment fund was set up in July of 2002, so 20 years next month, which is quite an amazing thing. The mission of the endowment fund is to expand and enhance the ministries of SCF. The thing I think to pay attention there to in those words is that it's not about replacing the other ministries of SCF, it's about expanding and enhancing the ministries of SCF. The fund is a true endowment fund, and what that means is that gifts of to the fund need to be held in perpetuity, forever, in other words, and that only the income from the fund can be used for grants. Gifts to the fund over the years, over the past 20 years, have taken us to the point where we have approximately $500,000 in the fund. So the income from the fund is actually pretty significant. The fund is managed by 7 trustees that are elected each year by the congregation. I shouldn't say that every one of them are elected each year. It's rotating, obviously, and the terms are 3 years. So with respect to expanding and enhancing the ministries of SCF, what we try to do is to look for opportunities to respond to a present need that maybe didn't exist last year that has presented itself. And also look for opportunities to educate the members of SCF with respect to ministries that maybe they're not familiar with. So this year, so far this year, our present year grants, we've given $3,500 to Lutheran Community Services Northwest. That organization does a lot of great things, but one of the things that they do is they are the Resettlement Organization for Refugees in the Northwest in Washington and Oregon. And so our grant was specifically intended to respond to the Afghan refugee crisis. The second grant that we provided was to an organization called A Promise of Health. Gary and Shirley Carlson have been advocates for this organization for many years. But the unique thing about this year was that they were building a new clinic in a community in rural Mexico that had never had a medical clinic before. And so we provided $2,500 to that. One of the things that we do each year is to support the scholarship fund, and we did that again this year, the SCO Scholarship Fund. The Lapine Community Kitchen was another gift that we made in the amount of $2,500. You're probably familiar with Mountain Star. Mountain Star is an organization in Central Oregon that responds to the needs of preschool children that are in potentially vulnerable situations. And Mountain Star presently has clinics and preschools in Madras, Prineville, and Bend, but they had nothing in the South County. And so they're in the process of building a new facility in Lapine, and we provided an $8,000 grant for that purpose. And the last thing we have more recently done is we gave $4,000 to Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service in response to the Ukrainian crisis. They will be receiving Ukrainian refugees and helping them assimilate into the U.S. So thank you for your support over the years. If you have any questions about the endowment fund, the names of the trustees are always in the monthly newsletter. So reach out to any one of us and we'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Wade. I didn't offer a few thank yous here to Mitzi and to Sharon for the music, and Rob, who is sitting in the front pretending he doesn't know what's going on. But he's going to do a little something, I think. And especially to Barb Purcell for being my lector today. I really appreciate that. And I also have to say our ad hoc altar guild of Jenna and Brenda, who both of them haven't been here for a while, and yet they put together an altar and everything for us this morning. So big thanks to all of you. Please stand. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and no one was left to speak for me. Let us confess our sins before God and one another. God, who made me in your image, teach me to love myself as you love me. God, who made me in your image, allow me to show that image to the world. God, who made me in your image, help me to see your image in all those I meet. God, who made me in your image, teach and protect all your creation. God, who made me in your image, bless, protect, and keep me and all your children safe. The one who breathed life into our lungs continues to be present with us. God, who has made us reflective of God's own image, has forgiven us all and made us new creations. Therefore, since our sins are forgiven, let us go forth with love and peace, honoring and upholding the dignity of all we meet, knowing we see reflections of God, God's image all around. Thank you.
this place, the new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See, in this space, our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of the day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history. Call to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the haughty. Gather us in the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true.
The first king in Israel history was a man named Saul, who was chosen at age 50 and ruled for 22 years. It was a learning experience for all, but did not work out well. The process for choosing the new king, David, who was the greatest of Israel's monarchs, was full of lessons and surprises. Here is one of those lessons as the first promising candidate is rejected, and why. A reading from the first book of the prophet of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me responsively Psalm 140. Deliver me, O Lord, from evildoers.
Protect me from those who are violent.
Who plan evil things in their minds. They make their tongue sharp as a snake's. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked.
Protect me from the violent who have planned my downfall.
The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net.
Along the road they have set snares for me.
I say to the Lord, you are my God.
Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications.
Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked.
Do not further their evil plot.
I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the needy.
And executes justice for the poor.
Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name.
The upright shall live.
It may seem strange that the holy disciples would ask Jesus if fire should be brought down on a certain village because the people would not welcome him. It was a Samaritan village, though, and there was long-standing and deep conflict between Samaria and Jerusalem. Luke signals an urgency for those who wish to follow Jesus to get with the way God thinks, not how mankind thinks. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. The groundwork doesn't show until one day. That's a quote sprawled beneath a crocus on a Corita Kent print, which hangs on a wall in my house. I pass by it at least once a day. When I take time to read it, I remember that every day I am sowing seeds, little changes in my life and in the lives of others. You are sowing your changes too. Like it or not, we are all interconnected, and eventually all sprout, tangle, grow, or fade and become our world, God's garden. The beginning of seed life roots underground. Much of the root work happens undercover, where we often believe that not anything is happening at all. Cover has benefits. Cover hides secrets. Cover protects. Take this cape. It's called a chasuble. The word chasuble comes from the Latin that means little house. If we think back to the times of Jesus, travelers would wear a similar but not as sparkly garment when traveling. If there was no inn for the night, one could wrap up in one's own tent, one's own little house, and this personal cover hides much about the person, what he's carrying, what he looks like, who he is. In the Episcopal Church, we acknowledge the person wearing the chasuble as the priest, the presider of the great Thanksgiving at God's table. Somewhere in our mind, we also acknowledge that underneath this cover is a person who has gone through much education, a person who has been tested, passed, and ordained to act as a priest. We acknowledge that much groundwork has taken place under this cape, but it too hides much about the person. This Sunday is toward the end of Gay Pride Month. The name Pride started after a 1969 raid on the Stonewall Inn, a gay bar in New York. 12 plainclothes policemen beat up and arrested the gay employees and patrons. The series of protests that followed were organized by Pride, Personal Rights in Defense and Education. Before this uprising, gay people did not fight back in many such raids. They had no rights. Their best course of action was to run or hide. For many years, gay people hid a huge part of their person and their soul under their personal protective cover. That raid persecution is only one in a long line of gay bashing episodes that still continue today. And the church has acted as a main instigator. As early as 529, the Christian emperor Justinian made homosexuals, quote, a scapegoat for problems such as earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, end of quote. In 1265, Thomas Aquinas argued that, quote, homosexuality is second only to murder in the ranking of sins, end of quote. In 1533, Henry VIII passed an act that made homosexuality punishable by death. Jesus faced this same persecution and rejection of who he was. In today's gospel, Luke says he set his face toward Jerusalem. Commentator Chris Haslam explains that this means his mission of itinerant preacher, teaching and healing around the countryside has changed. It is time to turn to his true purpose, to face his suffering and death. He was seen as a threat to the Roman ideal of obedient, homogenized community. As he sets out to Jerusalem, he is refused hospitality in a Samaritan village. James and John were outraged at this because hospitality, welcoming the stranger, was of highest priority in this climate of extremely difficult travel over inhospitable terrain. The Samaritans didn't want any Jews to disgrace their villages. The stole is a symbol of clerical office. Priests and many ministers wear it hanging over both shoulders. There have been many suggested meanings for the stole. But in the church today, we recognize it as the yoke of Christ. When a priest dons this stole, secrets are held sacred. When a priest wears a stole, we allow that person to represent the priesthood of Christ and to go with us into that mystery of the sacred place where the groundwork is happening. In ancient rock art, thousands of years before the Common Era, drawings of same-gendered or no-gender figures were depicted as leaders of religious rites. Way back then, it was thought that the way gays, although they weren't, that term wasn't used then, the way that gays viewed the world gave them an unusual, special knowledge of human life and the ability to walk between the world of earth and the world of spirit. In 1 Samuel, we are reminded, quote, "The Lord does not see mortals see. They look upon outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart," end of quote. When a priest takes off the stole, to some degree, the role and obligations are also taken off. A person, as any other, greets you. Part of that greeting includes sexuality. We need a piece of that for us to attract to one another. We need attraction for one another to love, companionship, intimacy, community, and family. For many gay people, that attraction has stayed deep in the underground roots, often covered up by heterosexual marriages, but damaged by emotional cost and deception in living two separate lives. The cost of someone digging up your cover and attacking your root system with taunts, innuendo, and bullying could, and on sad occasion, still does lead to a death sentence. Guess where the word faggot was first used in a print as reference to gays? Portland, Oregon, 1913. We don't have such an open and welcoming history here in the Pacific Northwest as we might like to believe. Gay bars were one of the only places of community gathering, but they were not safe. Even in Portland, police were at the doors and raids were common. Finally, in 1969 at the Stonewall Bar, gay people fought back. That was the official beginning of gay pride, but it wasn't the end of discrimination, hate, and violence. The uprising was the groundwork of roots that wouldn't be strangled, but continued to network in God's garden and finally broke through with a tentative sprig of gay awareness in the mainstream. Most older gay people have given their lives or a portion of their lives in order to follow their God-given attraction that leads them to the same love, intimacy, and community that we are all called to live in. our lives intertwine with your lives right from the root level. Under earth, under the love of God, we all have our beginning and ending. We cannot cut ourselves off from someone else's root system without damaging a part of our own. This white garment is called an alb. An alb is a garment that any baptized Christian can wear. It symbolizes our putting on Christ in our baptism, in our role of the priesthood of all the baptized, and our participation in the resurrection to come. When we put the alb on in church, it covers our street clothes. It covers our everyday clothes. It covers our everyday selves. Those who wear the alb for liturgical function represent each one of us in this congregation. It represents we are all baptized in Christ's family. We are invaluable gardeners in the work of tending and extending God's kingdom. Perhaps if all who call themselves Christian wore albs from their churches out into the world, we would delight to see how that little mustard seed has grown and spread and is attracting life to shelter to its branches. Or would we? Instead, would we experience ridicule and prejudice because we aren't like other people? We are distracting in our breezy white robes. Maybe instead we would hear taunts, "You men don't display the American way when you're wearing dresses. You women aren't ornamented enough to attract men to marry and produce children." Better we leave our robes hidden in a safe place, a reserved church place. It's too dirty and damaging for such sacred garments out there in God's world. In 2003, Gene Robinson was the first person in an openly gay relationship to be consecrated bishop in the Episcopal Church. Besides his alb, stole, and chasuble, he wore a bulletproof vest. Although ceremonial men called vergers cleared his way into the church nave, before he arrived there, the nave was also verged by armed guards. Clouds of confusion and dissent followed his consecration. And it wasn't until the General Convention of 2009 that gays, lesbians, and bisexuals who had been baptized were officially eligible for ordained ministry. Biblical language, especially from the Hebrew Bible, is laced with metaphor, slang of that time, references to ideas and stories unfamiliar to us today. The entire Genesis story of Lot that has been used to condemn homosexuals for years had a much different message for people who heard it at that time. But that story alone is an entire Bible study lesson. A simple example of biblical language meaning is the use of the word feet. Those listening to the story of Ruth and Boaz in ancient times would know that when Naomi encouraged Ruth to lie with Boaz and uncover his feet, it meant uncover his genitals. To uncover one's feet was to become naked and vulnerable. Now I stand symbolically stripped before you. If any of us shed our robes, our symbols of office, our symbols of sexuality, there is a person, a human being who is created in the image of God and called good. A human who is not a rainbow, nor black, nor white, nor brown, but only God's color. For each one of us, shedding the trappings we may think may make us more important or lovable is an act of making space in the root system for those who aren't yet as solidly established. Shedding our secrets and fears makes us attractive to those who desperately want to do the same. All of us need to push up, blossom, and lend our particular beauty to creation. God is the gardener here. God is meticulous about soil preparation and care of tender roots and shoots. God takes pride in God's work. Let there never be any doubt. God's groundwork will always show one day. Amen.
To the sermon response hymn, we will sing all four lines clear to the end and then go back and sing lines 3 and 4 again.
Join me in affirming our faith. We believe in God, who is love and who has given the earth to all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, who came to heal us and to free us from all form of oppression. We believe in the Spirit of God, who works in and through all who turn towards the truth. We believe in the community of faith, which is called to be at the service of all people. We believe in God's power to transform and transfigure, fulfilling the promise of a new heaven and a new earth where justice and peace will flourish. Amen. Please be seated. In peace and in faith, let us offer our prayers, saying, "Hear us, O Christ." We pray for leaders of the world to make wise decisions for all people. Give them strength and the grace of humility to listen to wisdom surrounding them.
Hear us, O Christ.
We pray for all churches and places of spiritual leadership and healing in our world. May their prayers for peace and hospitality soften the hearts of those hardened to the needs of the world's people. Strengthen those who stand, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up the fallen, and especially those who work for your justice with gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, both in your church and in our communities. We give our thanks this day for celebrating who we are, people in the image of, created in the image of God as straight, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered, May we be strengthened in our witness in being faithful to your gospel. Give us greater attention and care to the welfare of our planet. Open the minds of scientists and experimenters and bright imaginers to help us find solutions to save our Earth before it cannot sustain us any longer. We pray for all who protect us, military police, firefighters, healthcare workers, and those unnamed. Give them confidence, tools, skills, and clear minds to carry out their professions to the best of their ability. We pray for all in our community who've asked for prayers. Amber, Stan, Mal, Nancy, Peter, Diane, Susan, Sharon, Keith, Alice, Rosie, Barbie, Tanaka, Paul, Karen, Polly, Carol, Pat, Jan, Betsy, Joe, Shirley, Ken, Doug, Cliff, Melanie, Dick and Mariana, Maxford, Meredith, Elizabeth and John Scott, Nicholas and Michelle, Bev, Jenny, Olivia, Bergen, Rich, Mariana, Aiden, William, and all others we name in our hearts and on our lips. Place your healing hands upon them. Hear us as we remember those who have died, especially Janet Potts, who passed away peacefully on the morning of June 20th. Grant us, with them, a share in your eternal glory. We come today with special gratitude for Shirley Smith, for her devotion and numerous endeavors to support and enliven our Sun River Christian Fellowship. Bless her and her family as she begins the next phase of her journey in this life. May she always hold in her heart the memories and the love of this community. We trust that God knows each of us intimately and what we need to blossom. We leave our prayers in God's care. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please share the peace.
Pardon me.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself an offering and sacrifice to God. Table does not belong to any denomination, church, or community. It belongs to Jesus. It was at table that he met people, heard their stories, and shared his. It was at table that he deepened his friendship with poor folk and outcasts, the business class, and puzzled bystanders. It was at table that he shared profound insights into who God is and what God wants. And it was at table with bread and wine that he initiated the sacrament we now celebrate. So come to this table and accept his invitation to be the friend he cherishes and longs to feed. With the church throughout the world and with all who love Jesus and honor his name, we praise you singing. Before this building was erected In open spaces and hard places, people heard of how, on the night of his arrest, and aware of what lay ahead of him, Jesus sat at supper with his friends. During the meal, he took a piece of bread, thanked God, broke it, and said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you." So we take this bread and offer it to God for blessing, so that through it the goodness of God may bless, enrich, and enlighten us. Come now, O Christ, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, forever bound to us in promise and mystery. Breathe your spirit on us and on this bread. Let it become for us the seal and sign of your love, healing, redeeming, and making us whole.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our
daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive
those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and glory, and the glory, forever and ever. Alleluia, all who hunger and thirst for a better life, for a deeper faith, for a better world. Here is the bread of life. Feed on it with gratitude.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thank you. Please stand for our post-communion prayer. O God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life. You have united us with Christ and one another. You have made us one with your own people, in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing be always with you. Let us go forth into the world, tending our gardens and rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia.